This episode is brought to you by ITVX. Whatever it is you're looking for, from hard-hitting drama to side-splitting comedy, ITVX marks the spot. There's so much to discover, like the total comedy genius show Changing Ends, starring little old me, Alan Carr. Or the groundbreaking new relationship show My Mum, Your Dad, hosted by Davina McCall. Stream free with ITVX, the UK's freshest streaming service.
Hey, it's me, Dave Stone, former co-host of the Boogie Monster podcast. From 2016 to 2023, myself and Kyle Kinane got together each week to ramble on about ghosts, aliens, Bigfoot, and other mysteries of the universe. Or at least that was our initial intentions. But if you've listened before, you know that it usually devolved into disjointed rants about vans and fried chicken. During that time, we also ran a Patreon page that offered up exclusive bonus episodes to our patrons, usually in the form of Q&A sessions. And even though the Boogie Monster is currently on an indefinite hiatus, we're offering up those old bonus episodes to the general population so that everyone can enjoy our old nonsense. Hopefully someday soon we'll dust off our microphones and resurrect the Boogie Monster, but until then, enjoy a blast from the past from your old pals Kyle and Dave. Thanks for listening. Yeah, might as well. How is the Bud Light Seltzer?
Man, I love them.
I've not had that yet.
You know, once you just graduate in life to a point, let's check these levels. Oh, these levels are beautiful. Same levels as the other night.
Yeah,
once you graduate in life to that point, you're like, oh, it doesn't matter what I do.
Mm-hmm.
My actions are inconsequential as far as the universe is concerned. So I'm going to drink some Bud Light seltzers, and I'm going to love the shit out of them, because I do. I think they're a nice alternative to just drinking beer.
What does it taste like? Does it taste just like regular seltzer, like regular
yeah,
soda water?
Yeah, it's like a LaCroix. It's like a boozy LaCroix, but they're 5% alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
100 cals, if you're watching or counting those.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they're great. I'm a big fan. And who is it? Somebody said that Zima crawled so these new seltzers could walk.
That's pretty good.
I agree. Everybody mocked that shit early on. Now it's a welcome invite to a party. I mean, they could put them in a regular can. I don't need the dainty. I like how they have skinny cans, like the psychological product design of putting it into a skinnier can.
I do like a skinny can.
You like skinny cans? I like big fat cans.
I walked into that one.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Well, this is our monthly bonus Q&A. Hello, patrons. Yeah. Kyle and I still unquarantined from each other. Got some compliments on our regular episode this week, where people were like, oh, it sounded like you're in the same room. So I think we figured out our technical difficulties.
The sound quality was great. The content, whole other story, but the sound quality, oh boy.
But yeah, so hopefully, we figured this out and we can, continue podcasting all the way through quarantine and, bringing you the wonderful content that you've grown to expect from the Boogie Monster.
Well, I got into it. We talked about issues at hand.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I don't know. That was yesterday. Today, I went on a big bike ride. Got out in the world. Still looking at how life is handling this shit.
Yeah. Where'd you ride to?
Just all through Hollywood, then down to. Silver Lake and Echo Park, rode up to Dodger Stadium and back.
What's LA look like right now with the quarantine?
I mean, the air's better. There's less cars. I mean, if you have a bike and you live in a city,
mm-hmm.
now is a great time. These streets are relatively empty. A bike, it's not like you're in close quarters with somebody. Get out and see your city. If you got a bicycle, I would say it's a good time for it.
Dude, we got out today and drove down to Huntington Beach along the PCH going south. And even though the beaches are technically closed, dude, we got into two or three traffic jams. Like, there was just bumper-to-bumper traffic. People everywhere. People on the beach, people on the sidewalk.
Like, it looked like a normal day. It didn't
Orange
look like...
Yeah, Orange County's not part of the real world.
No. Yeah, they don't play by the rules.
They don't think that they're part of the outcome here. But, it's been all right. I'm still not... I don't want to be too... I love it, man. I think this is great. I think it's great. Man, if you know what? If we can keep getting Trump supporters to eat fish tank cleaner and those numbers thin out.
Is that what happened? That older couple, they ate fish tank cleaner?
Yeah, it was one person. All right. Fine. I'm sorry to make light of the death of somebody that dumb. Mm-hmm. But when everybody's like, see, he's dangerous, I'm like, look who's doing it, though. Leave it alone.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. These damn kids are eating Tide Pods. Anyway, the president said we should eat fish tank cleaner, so I'm going to do that because he's got to be the smartest because he's the president.
Oh, God. Don't get me started.
Yeah, we won't have to go down that road. What do we got? What's going on with the patrons these days? Well, what's going on with you, Dave, since we talked yesterday? Any fun dinners? Did you have a fun dinner? Late last night?
Yeah, we did. What? I can't even remember what I ate yesterday. Hold on, let me think.
You were talking about, you were big, excited. We've devoted a big segment of this week's episode to the ham.
Yeah. Oh God, I was very excited about that ham. I'm gonna have to break quarantine and go get some more of that shit soon. But yeah, nothing spectacular yesterday. We got Mexican takeout yesterday. That was fun. Still trying to support the local businesses. So.
Yeah, I was getting takeout. They said that food should not be. If you want to get afraid, you're going to get afraid of everything. You know, if you want to start getting paranoid. So that's the weird part about this. If you're prone to getting paranoid, like I'll go one way or another. I'll either eat fucking food off the floor, or I'm just like bathing and rubbing alcohol. So
yeah.
I don't do real good with a middle ground, so I'm working on it though.
Yeah, I'm kind of the same. I get into my modes where I'm super OCD about stuff, and then other times it's just I let it all fly out the window. So you gotta live your life.
I'm an introvert, so this is glorious. Let's answer some questions.
Yeah,
man.
Let's talk to the kids.
Let's communicate with the outside world.
Speaking of food and cooking, Rohan Rajpal, I'm sure I mispronounced that. At what age did Dave start cooking? Believe it or not, I didn't cook till later in life, probably around 25. And I told this story on the Dave's Kitchen Q&A this week. But I was in my mid-20s. I was living in Canton, Georgia. Hadn't cooked a whole lot up until that point, but I loved barbecue. That's when I really started to come into my own as far as my barbecue palate and sensibilities. But where I lived there in Canton, we had one or two rinky-dink mom-and-pop barbecue joints, and they both sucked. They were just piss-poor excuses for barbecue.
That seems like a place that you could not get away with being shitty at barbecue.
You would think in Georgia...
that's a licensed business.
Yeah, you would think so.
Like you should have passed some tests.
But it was just real mediocre, and because I had gotten a taste of some good stuff, like down in Atlanta, and I was like, oh, okay, so this is the good stuff, and up where I live, this is the real mediocre crap. So the first thing I really started cooking was barbecue. I bought a smoker. I started messing with smoking pork shoulders and ribs, and just got hooked with that, and then ever since just sort of broadened my horizons, learning to cook all the kind of things I love. Somebody asked on that Q&A, you know, what's a good way to kind of get into cooking and start cooking? For me, it was as simple as I started cooking the things I enjoyed eating. I know that's kind of obvious, but, you know, hey, you like this dish or that dish, and you don't want to always depend on takeout or going and sit down restaurant to eat it. Learn how to cook those dishes yourself. And, you know, me being a man of broad appetites, there was a long list of things I enjoyed eating.
Did you ever mess something up that just broke your heart?
Oh, absolutely. Dude, I messed something up this week. That's the thing. Like, you're always going to screw stuff up, especially if you're like, I'm at the point now where I know how I can follow a recipe. That's not a challenge, you know. So I'm more of a freestyle cook now because I got some chops, I got some experience. So often I will just make stuff up, and sometimes it's brilliant, and sometimes it sucks. And
that's what I like about stand-up, too, is that sometimes you'd be on stage, you're like, I'm good at stand-up. I've been doing this for, like, 20 years. And then you go for a bit, and it just bombs catastrophically. You're like, hell yeah, still plenty to learn. Thanks for keeping it exciting, comedy.
Absolutely. Yeah, comedy and cooking both will keep you humble because you're never as good as you think you are.
What did you beef this week?
This week I was trying to make a different variation on my chicken tortilla soup. I do have a good recipe for chicken tortilla soup,
put Jell-O in it.
I reversed some of the techniques, not to bore you with details, but with a lot of my soups and stews, the foundation
put hot soup
is
into a live chicken.
I will take onions and garlic and peppers and whatever else is going to be the base, and I will roast them first in the oven for about an hour, and then I'll pull them out and puree the roasted versions. This time I made what's called a sofrito, where you kind of do the opposite. I took raw garlic, raw onions, raw peppers, pureed them in a blender, and then simmered them in the Dutch oven for several hours. And I think I just didn't let it go long enough before I started adding my other stuff, my chicken stock and my chicken and stuff. And I think I used a little too much garlic, and it was just...
Too much garlic?
I know.
Such a thing.
Dude, me too. That's what I was thinking. Even though when I was doing it, I was like, this is still a lot of garlic. But it was just too bitter and too garlicky and just too overpowering. The garlic and onion was just way overpowering. And but hey, you know, now trial and error, I learned. So what are you going to do?
Somebody wrote online, they're like, listen, a lot of people are stuck at home. They're learning to cook right now. Two pieces of advice. That's enough rice and that's not enough garlic. go for it.
Yeah. Oh man. Yeah. Usually I adhere to that. Can't have enough garlic rule. But
was
I
it
found
bad
the letter.
Or you just it wasn't as spectacular as you'd hoped.
I mean, it wasn't bad. Like it was okay. But it was one of these things where I cooked it all day. Like my soups and stews and gumbos and chilies and stuff. I like to just cook them all damn day. And it was the fact that I spent, you know, 8 hours preparing this thing, and the finished product was like, okay. Well, the effort to quality ratio is a little off balance, and that's always disappointing. But you live and learn. What are you going to do?
You're out there doing it.
Speaking of cooking, Lee Singleton asked, if you're going to cook Chicago Mothman, oh, Lee, come on, how dare you? If you were going to cook Chicago Mothman, what would be the ideal cooking technique?
I mean, all right, let's take away this, you know, you're going to honor Chicago and put them into a deep dish or some hack shit like that. Mm-hmm. Or we could look at this angle. Insects, Dave, as a protein, they're supposed to be the new protein of the future, insects. Uh-huh. Now, I think they're a little more like crustaceans, right? It's going to be like a shrimp or a crawdad?
Well, for some reason, I feel like the Mothman is in the poultry family. I don't know why. He flies. He's got wings. I know insects do those things as well.
But he's a moth. There's no poultry. He's a moth.
But he's kind of an owl, too, right? There's a little bit of... He's got a little owl in him.
No.
I don't know. No.
He's a moth.
So he's just a big-ass moth. He's a 150-pound moth.
I think you boil.
Yeah, I think you gotta.
Then with the butter, a lot of crawdads, no craw moms. I don't know if nobody's pointing that one out.
You should write that down.
I probably shouldn't. I'm a little fucked up right now, Dave.
Yeah, so I understand.
A lot of bad ideas coming out of my mouth.
Yeah, how many deep are you in the Bud Light seltzers right now?
I'm only on my third seltzer, but I smoked a little bit, which I normally never do, but now that I'm not like responsible to you because I'm not looking at you in the face, and I'm just sitting in my garage, I'm like, oh yeah, let's let it fly, man. It doesn't matter.
Oh, God.
Which is probably a bad attitude to have, but it's an attitude nonetheless.
Yeah, I'm about four bourbons deep right now.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying not to get fucked. Well, we talked about this on the regular. I try not to get fucked up every day.
Yeah.
But a little bit here and there. It's okay.
Mm-hmm. Whew. Sorry.
But yeah, I'd say Mothman's an insect. And I think just as to broaden that topic, how to cook insects, I think you need to prepare them like a seafood, like a small fish.
Yeah, I think so too. Maybe a scampi.
Because everybody's baking them into bread or they're mashing them into paste for like mm-hmm. the new protein. You ever eat bugs, Dave?
I did some TV pilot where I had to eat a bunch of weird shit. I went to Chinatown in San Francisco. I ate duck feet, and then I ate like crickets or some
you
sort
ate
of
what
insect.
Feet?
Duck feet. I ate a duck's foot, and not very tasty. It was not good.
Webbed.
Yeah. I did not enjoy it, but I was on camera, and I was like, I'll do it.
Yeah.
But yeah, on that same day, I ate. I don't know if they were crickets or katydids or something, but some sort of hopping insect on a stick. You know,
like
the world's worst candy. You know,
I did crickets. We bought like, but they had so much seasoning on them, you couldn't really tell that it was like a dried cricket.
Yeah,
I had that. Do you ever eat like gizzards and like?
Oh yeah, yeah, chicken gizzards.
Yeah, what's the one?
Oh, I like chicken
livers. Business. I had like on a skewer. I think it was like the livers or something.
Yeah, chicken livers are popular in the South.
Man, those are good.
And amongst old people, beef liver and onions. That's a Midwestern.
I never had liver and
Southern
onions.
Thing.
I never did that one.
Yeah, when I worked at Longhorn Steakhouse, that was on the menu. You could order liver and onions, and all the senior citizens couldn't get enough.
They did. I wonder what the old-timey dish of our generation is going to be.
That's a good question. Like what our grandkids are not going to eat eat right now.
But I don't know. Was liver and onions, was that like a pauper, like a hard times kind of meal?
Yeah, I would think so. I think any of that more obscure meat, you know, that's kind of the basis of soul food and stuff, the cheap cuts, the discarded cuts that most people didn't want to eat.
But now everybody's romanced that stuff back into mm-hmm. popularity.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know. Something to think about. What's going to be going away? What's going to be when we're, knock on wood, if we make it to 70?
That's a good
roll
question.
Roll into a restaurant.
I'm trying to think.
Anything processed, maybe? Anything inorganic?
Hot dogs, stuff like that, maybe? Corn dogs?
Fucking hot dogs, man.
I like a good corn dog. All right, yeah, there you go, Lee. Although I don't appreciate you putting that image in my head. I don't want to cook Chicago Mothman.
I mean, maybe West Virginia Mothman, maybe Point Pleasant Mothman.
Yeah, but not Chicago. He's our pal. He stops in from time to time. I don't want to do
from
that.
From time to time, we'll see. Maybe we'll find out what he's up to this month.
Moving on, Danielle McCammett. Ask, what's the craziest COVID conspiracy you've seen going around? We addressed a little bit of this yesterday on the regular episode. I didn't mention this yesterday, but I think I saw one where, I don't know how crazy this is, but it just seems kind of really impractical, that it was created by the Democrats to make Trump look bad. Yeah, that's what happened, because Lord knows he doesn't do enough of that on his own. So we have to create a global pandemic just to make Trump look like a fucking idiot.
Yeah, the fact that anybody thinks it's created, because that was a good point. I never thought it was a man-made thing anyway, but somebody's like, oh, cool, so you made biological warfare that only kills old people and young people, leaving the strongest left alive.
Mm-hmm.
If, like, you're really trying to take out a group of people, make sure it doesn't affect the strongest members of that population.
Yeah, if anything, you'd want the reverse of that.
Yeah, and we talked about the adrenochrome. You thought of celebrities trying to suck the good times out of the abandoned baby corpses or what have you.
Yeah.
And then, you know, that was basically what we got into. Sucking the good times out of the baby corpses. And then, what were the other ones? warfare.
Yeah, I think biological.
It's a cleansing. It's a cleansing. It was going to happen. It happens to a population. Any population gets an illness that it can't defeat.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm a big fan, not a fan, but I'm a somewhat believer of the Agenda 21 conspiracy, where the global elites are going to try to global depopulation, you know, as a theory. I believe that there's some truth to that, and I don't know if this is connected to it, but it definitely falls under that umbrella of a possibility.
I don't think they're doing it. I think it's just in general that there's. All right, this is my gloom and doom shit, but how there's too many people now. This isn't like a result of that, but there's too many people. Meaning, hold on, helicopter. Mm-hmm. I can't. Maybe you can hear it. Maybe you can't. I don't know. But if there's too many people, meaning there's not enough resources for the amount of people that are here. That's being very obvious with how the hospitals and our medical resources are overrun by this thing, not prepared for it all. Now, if you were to an amount of money to be like, just in case, imagine last year if somebody's like, what if a pandemic happens? We need to have 50,000 ventilators. When what does the country have? How many ventilators?
I don't know.
It's like, I think it's below 10,000. Now, what if a year ago we were just supposed to say, like, you know what? We need 50,000, 100,000 of these things. Uh-huh. Nobody. Like, for what? Well, just in case. Nobody's throwing just in case money around.
Yeah.
Nobody ever throws just – look at people now. How many people have just in case money? You know, how many people have rainy day funds just on a personal level, let alone agencies that are all concerned about budget and this and that? So now this happened and X amount of people are going to get it and nobody's prepared for it.
Yeah.
There's too many people. There's too many people. This isn't going to – I don't think this is going to kill some major amount. I mean, it's killing people, and it's bad. I don't think it's going to be millions. I hope I'm right.
Well,
I'm talking out my ass because that's what we do here.
I've heard more than one source speculate that – now, this is pretty grim if you think about it, but I've heard this from a few different people – not people, but – you know, World Health Organization or some of these people you see on these press conferences, not just Joe Schmo on the street. But I've heard it speculated that 50%, worst case scenario, 50% of humanity could catch this thing. Okay? So simple math, 7 billion people on the planet, 3.5 billion people could catch it. And then the mortality rate's what, 1 to 2%? Let's say it's 2%. Mm. So 2% of 3.5 billion... that would be what, 350 million, 30, that'd be 70 million people. So worst case scenario, 70 million people could die from this thing. So even that's still a fraction of our 7 billion population, but still 70 million deaths is a lot.
In a rare moment, I'm trying to be positive about this. And I think that, listen, once it's shutting down economies, then that's where the money's going to be thrown at scientists. Because once the rich people are being affected, well, shit, we got to figure this out. If it was just a problem for poor people, yeah, we'd be fucked.
Yeah.
You know, that was a conspiracy theory. I think we talked about that Tom Hanks, when he said he got it, was just to make sure people took it seriously.
Huh.
Like maybe he didn't have it. It was just like, well, everybody loves Tom Hanks. And so if he has it, it means we should probably be careful and take it seriously.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it's scary, man.
If Trump was smart, like, he would be like, I have it, and then, oh, yeah, everybody would take care of themselves, like, all the fucking idiots that follow him would be like, oh, see, it's real.
Yeah.
Because we got a social distance. But I think, because it's the focus of the entire population.
Yeah.
That hopefully, and again, I'm talking out my ass. I don't know. You know, who's going to listen to a guy tuned up on Bud Light, seltzers, and old weed. Fucking Kyle, you were wrong. Yeah, probably.
Oh, man.
Most of the time I am.
Change of gears. Apropos of nothing. You know I shaved my head last week, or 2 weeks ago, right?
Yeah, dog.
You know what I did today?
Shave your beard?
I gave myself a mohawk.
How?
It was about two weeks ago. I shaved it. So I got about 2 weeks worth of growth. My hair grows pretty quick. I got a little bit of a chia pet thing going on here.
Yeah, I was
going
to say, how much you got up there after 2 weeks? That's not.
Yeah, it grew. I mean, it's not laying down. But anyway, I shaved it to a mohawk, and there's definitely a contrast. You can see the big strip. I've always wanted a mohawk. I've never had one. And now I got one, so I'm pretty excited about it.
It's time to get weird. It's time to try on some of those clothes you weren't sure if you were felt comfortable in. Wear them around for a day. You'll get comfortable in them.
Oh, man, that reminds me. Jesse Case. Do you know Jesse? Used to be an L.A., Nashville guy. Just funny. Brilliant on Twitter. Like, just a great writer. And
Real grim, though.
Real grim. But he tweeted something the other day. I'm paraphrasing. I can't nail it word for word. But basically, he's like, hey, straight dudes in quarantine, if you haven't tried dressing up in drag yet, you know, what the hell are you doing? just the image of him just walking around his house in drag just because. That's something to think about. I might try on. I might go full drag. Hey, did I lose you there, buddy?
Yeah, is that me? Okay. Is that me cutting you off, or you cutting me off?
I don't know. I mean, my phone's just sitting on the table. I didn't touch anything.
Same here. Mine's just sitting on the ground.
Oh well. But anyway, yeah, maybe that's something we could look into. Is just dress up in some drag, just for the hell of it.
Well, I lost you when you were just talking about Jesse Case.
Oh, okay. Jesse, he tweeted something to the effect of, hey, straight guys, if you're not in drag yet during quarantine, what the hell are you doing with your life? Like, what better time to, you know, explore a little bit, you know, put on a wig, put on some makeup.
I think jokes can lend themselves to great conspiracy theories. Part of me, I was joking about how the toilet paper hoarding was just bidet companies. They were crisis actors.
Speaking of which,
hiring
people to fight
over toilet paper to push the idea of bidets forward. And also, maybe if a bunch of people did buy bidets, and then you get a bunch of these hardcore fucking straight, you know, weirdo, then they start using bidets and realize that butthole pleasure is just butthole pleasure, and everybody can lighten up about it. They're not going to be such homophobes. You're like, yeah, your butt's a fun place to play with. It's okay.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to look at conspiracy theories that lend themselves to a positive outcome right now.
That's a good way to look at it. Yeah.
You know, like that's that. Conspiracy theories are all about control, the NWO and control. What if they're about, like, what if everybody's just a little bit better from this?
Mm-hmm.
What if that's the big conspiratorial thing? Like, yeah, they're usurping the government and breaking laws, but only with the hopes that humanity's a little bit more compassionate after the fact.
Well, yeah, the compassionate humanity angle, but also, and this could be legit, I saw some story the other day about how L.A. has had the cleanest air that it's registered in years because of quarantine.
Well, that's just a given, yeah.
But, I mean, yeah, think of the benefit to the climate change agenda that this is going to do. You know, maybe who's to say it's not a conspiracy to clean up our environment, to keep people off out of their cars and in their homes and stop using so much fossil fuel. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, if you are feeling grim, look at it like there's a little bit of a, yeah, the environment's getting a few weeks off right now.
Yeah.
And that's maybe healing things. So, yeah, we can try and find some of that positive spin. It's not easy, but it's out there a little bit. You know, it's all right. Hell yeah.
All right, moving on. Let's see. Joel Micah Harris. Hey, guys, is there a topic you'd be afraid to cover for fear of repercussion? I know a lot of people are afraid to talk about Scientology, the family, etc. That's a good question.
Nobody's coming after us.
Exactly.
I rode my bike past Scientology today, and I thought it'd be funny if, like, anybody, because there's an apartment building right across the street from it, like, why don't you just have a poster in your window that just says, you're in a cult? Like, just remind the people walking in there. Just, hey, FYI, you're in a cult.
Yeah.
Nah, I mean, I don't think anybody gives a shit. That's when UCB Theater opened up in 2005. They're across the street from the Scientology Celebrity Center. So there's the big Scientology building. It's over in Los Feliz. right by their new TV station that they have.
Oh, yeah.
Celebrity Center. And there was always a weird thing, like, can I joke about this? It's right there. But I don't know. Are you afraid to talk about anything?
No, not really. We haven't covered Scientology just because, A, it's so vast, and, B, it's been done so much. You know, it, like, that's...
Well, it's been done enough. Anyway, let's talk about Bigfoot again.
I mean, it's an incredibly interesting topic. Same thing with the JFK assassination. You know, I'm fascinated by that, but, you know, what can our dumbasses add to that conversation that hasn't already been said?
Yeah, I'm going to regurgitate, you know, that Leah Remini thing that she was... her series and just... about David Miscavige's wife going missing and all that crazy. It's a fucking cult. It's a cult that's right in our... it's down the street from me. And it's just there. And the theories I've heard is that, you know, you go and you tell them your secrets. And then they have your secrets. It's like, oh, we'll help you. We're connected, just like other shit in L.A. You know what that's... okay, here's one. How people, like, oh, there's a pedophile cabal in L.A. And everybody thinks, like, it within show business, and everybody's like, that's ridiculous. But then Scientology is right there. I'm not saying they're the same thing, but why wouldn't the Uber... because Scientology is, like, you join Scientology, and then they can, like, help you with your showbiz career, and then they just have all your secrets. Like, oh, you want to leave Scientology? I'm sorry, did you like your career? I heard another thing that they basically are the bank, so the Scientologists have their money. They're like, yeah, their money is held by Scientology, and if they want to leave, they'll just be like, well, thanks for the donation, and then your wealth is gone. These are the things I've heard, but, you know, that whole, like, I don't, you know, I... if pedophilia is a real way of, like, an illness, let's say, like we were talking about before, people are like, I'm a pedophile. I'm not going to fuck kids. I won't do that. But I know that's my predilection. That's what I'm attracted to. And that's wrong. But what if that exists? This is, oh, fucking marijuana Kyle really needs to be careful.
Dude.
What corners he goes down.
I watched the Corey Feldman documentary last week. I forgot to tell you about this.
Shit, man. I knew that was coming out, and then all this stuff happened. Watched that?
I watched it.
Maybe this is a regular episode. Maybe this is for the masses.
Well, I'll go ahead and say this.
We can talk about it now, and then we can talk about a regular episode. Lucky you, patrons. Barbecue dipshittery. I'm going to talk about kid fucking for a minute.
I had not heard this... allegation or tabloid story, maybe you had, but one of the main points or storylines in that documentary, Corey Feldman, obviously good pals with Corey Haim, the two Coreys. Haim has since passed away. I think he OD'd or something a few years ago. But get this shit.
Truly lost boys.
On the set of Lucas, did you ever see Lucas?
Yeah. Filmed in the couple towns over from one of the Glenbard East or something.
Now, how this hasn't been a bigger story, I don't know. Apparently, allegedly, Corey Haim, who was probably 12, 13 at the time, he got raped on the set of Lucas by his co-star, A-list celebrity Charlie Sheen. Had you heard that?
When I was reading about that documentary, I heard that was one of the accusations.
I had never heard that.
It was recent because it came out. Now, you talk about how disinformation, how, you know, we talk about it in the terms of, oh, I saw aliens. I got in a Old West style gunfight with an old gray or, you know.
Yeah. Who was that? What was that guy's name?
Whichever guy. Like, you want to let whatever nut job talk about it, go for it. Nobody will believe him. You don't think Corey Feldman's in that position? Everything else he does is bonkers.
But they had several other people who were working on that film. I don't remember.
No, I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm saying, like, they're going to let him say this because he's crazy.
Yeah. But it wasn't just him. There was other people who were like, yeah, we kind of heard that too. And Yeah, that's something we've all kind of swept under the rug. Dude, what the fuck? And, you know, I don't know Charlie Sheen. I don't know anything about him. But now that that seed has been planted, he's got a weird energy about him, it seems.
Like Charlie Sheen?
Charlie Sheen just seems like...
Yeah, he's a crazy fucking...
Yeah. Yeah, he's a nut job. Like, you know, again, it's ridiculous to say that about somebody you don't know personally, but just seeing, just
he's
looking,
been documented as being like a crazy sex fiend.
Well, crazy sex fiend is one thing, but to rape a co-star on a movie set is a whole nother ball game. But like, Jesus, I don't know.
Okay, and look at it this way: you got like, hey, I got a party, I got. Underage kids here. It's a full fucking Epstein situation. I got kids here. There you go, movie producer. Oh, did you just bang this person at my party? Well, guess what? They're 13, and now I basically own you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know if Scientology has any part of that, but if Scientology is just like, hey, yeah, what are your secrets? We got them? Great. You're going to be in this movie. You're going to make this movie.
Yeah,
that's my theory. They get people's secrets and then they just blackmail them into getting whatever. The only thing I don't understand is like, why is it so huge in Florida? Why, like in show business, it makes sense. Why is it big in these other places? That's what I don't understand, the attraction of getting
what
it, like
pedophilia
being a part of it.
You're asking why is pedophilia such an attraction, like in Florida and other places?
No. Why Scientology? Is.
Oh,
like,
Scientology.
Why, like,
sorry.
What makes an average person go, yeah, this? Hey, you guys all dress like Best Buy assistant managers.
And are Sarah just Silverman. Weird? Sarah Silverman has a great bit about that. I don't know if it's a bit, but she talked about it on Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee. But the only reason people think Scientology is weird is just because it's so recent. But she was like, if you really break it down and compare it to some other religions, it's really not that much crazier than other religions if you think about all the fairy tale stuff that happens in the Bible. But she's just her point was like, it's just because it's so recent, it's just because the guy's name is Ron that we think it's so odd.
Yeah, well, I used to have a joke about how cults are like, oh, they're just indie religions. And honestly, like, they always sound like every cult documentary I ever watch sounds great until the main dude, it's always a dude, the main dude starts trying to fuck everybody's wives and daughters. And that's like, well, this one's over.
Yeah.
But up until that point when they're all like, yeah, man, we all just make shitty music and grow our own vegetables. I'm like, I could do this. I can go split rent 37 ways on your abandoned mansion in the woods. Yeah, hell yeah, I could do that. And then it's like, all right, now we're all gonna fuck. I'm like, I might dip out of this.
Oh, God.
I gotta bow out of this one, guys.
All right, moving on. Sidlicious, that's a great handle. Sidlicious, nice. Ask, we've covered this, but why not answer it again? What's your guys' drink of choice to get through this time? Well, you're rocking the Bud Light Seltzer right
I'm
now.
I'm on to mango. I went through strawberry and lime. I'm on to mango.
Oh, God. How's mango sounds good. I like anything mango.
I really enjoyed the strawberry ones because it's like a LaCroix where it's not overpowering.
Mm-hmm.
You get like those margaritas in a can or something. Ugh. Or a Paloma in a can. Ooh. And it sucks, man. It's so sweet.
Yeah.
These are just a hint of the flavor. It's also water, so you're hydrating. It's a perfect beverage. Dave, what bourbon are you drinking?
Dude, my favorite, Jim Beam Black. Jim Beam Black. I like regular Jim Beam just because it's cheap and it, you know, tastes good to me. I'm a simple man. But I can get a regular 750 of Jim Beam for about $11. But if I want to splurge and spend $16 or $17, I'll go with the Jim Beam Black. And it's just aged longer. I'm not a big – I don't know the ins and outs of bourbon and whiskey and stuff, but I can tell a difference a little bit between the regular Beam and the Beam Black. But yeah, and Katie's such a sweetheart. She's always surprising me with little gifts and always buying me bourbon and stuff. And she'll come home with like a pretty, I mean, for me, an expensive bottle of bourbon's $35-$40. I know, you know, connoisseurs, you know, would scoff at that. And, but, you know, when one of my favorites is $16-$17 and she's coming home with a $40 bottle of Jefferson or Woodward Reserve. Is it Woodward?
No, I know. Yeah, Wood.
And those are great. I like those, but
Woodford
Reserve. Yeah. And those are fine and they're great, but I mean, for my money, give me a $16-$17 bottle of Jim Beam Black. I'm fine with it. That's what I'm drinking right now.
I think you got me onto the Beam. I was always I got two bottles of Jameson. One of the neighbors was going to the store. Like, you need anything? I'm like, however much whiskey you can get. But so I'll go. Was it like a Southern thing? Like, you guys were always like, if you ordered a shot in a bar, if you ordered a shot and a beer for somebody without asking what they wanted, what would you normally get for them?
Jack Daniels or Jim Beam, one or the other. Yeah.
Okay. Chicago is always Jameson.
Yeah. Yeah. I could see that because the Irish. But yeah, in the South, you know, we're true to the Kentucky and the Tennessee and the Kentucky stuff.
I figure it was like a regional choice. I got that here, but you got me out of the Jim Beam for having around the house. I like Bullet.
Bullet's good. I like Bullet. Yeah.
I mean, there's none that I'm shunned.
See, I'm not a fan of Jameson. I just, for some reason, I don't know, you know, and I'm probably wrong, but it there's a little minty hint to it, a little mouthwash hint to it. And
that's just a four-leaf clover.
Yeah, and that doesn't do it for me.
It's just a little leprechaun wishing you a little bit of luck. Sneaking into your gullet.
And you got me onto for years, the only liquor I would mess with is whiskey or bourbon. But you got me onto a tequila kick. I've been messing with a little bit of tequila every now and then.
That's tequila, a different drunk.
Tequila and cranberry juice. That's a good time. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what
Leonard
Cohen
drinks.
That's
a good drink for the quarantine. I think that's like a more uplifting drunk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's
definitely a crazier
difference.
Drunk. Uh-huh. It's crazier, but I don't think it's angry. Whiskey, I could see leaning towards an angry.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm lucky that I'm
a brooding drunk.
I'm lucky that I'm a happy, goofy drunk. I never get angry or violent or, you know, anything. So, when I get shit-faced, I'm just goofy. And now I'll get playfully violent, as you've experienced. I want you to put me in a headlock or, you know, something like that, but you know, I'm just a big goofball when I'm drunk. So, but I that being said, I can tell a bit of a difference, not necessarily, you know, good or bad, but just a lateral move when I'm tequila drunk. It's just a little bit different.
I get a little bit more like let's juggle something. You know, be a little more a little more rascally. I've never been a sad drunk though, which is probably. Like, the people that I know that don't drink, they're like, I would just drink, and I would get in a real bad mood, and, like, so I knew it wasn't good for me. That's how I am most of the time with weed, even though I smoked. But I didn't even take a big rip. I took one little toot off of a pipe.
Little toot.
Just to see how it goes. But I know now, it took me a long time to realize, like, everybody's smoking pot. Yeah, I want to get fucked up, but I wouldn't get fucked up in a fun way. I would smoke pot and hate being at a party and have to go hide. I wish alcohol had an adverse effect on me, but I love it.
I love it.
I really do. Man, not a care in the world. Not a care in the world when I'm drunk.
It's fun. Drink more alcohol, people. Here's one for you, Kyle. Ty Babb asks, Kyle, about to pull the trigger on a mountain bike. Any recommendations on accessories that you love or something you added to the bike to make it better? And he asked me a question, a most loved kitchen gadget. But Ty, I believe you asked that. I answered that on the food Q&A. So my most loved kitchen gadget is my Bullet blender because I like to puree all my vegetables.
Have a good food processor.
Yeah. What's some good accessories for a mountain bike?
I mean, it's going to sound ridiculous when you look at the price tag, but if you've never ridden a mountain bike, you need a get a dropper post.
What's that?
Dropper post. It's they're hydraulic or cable activated. It's a seat post that you can lower with a little thumb control by the handlebars.
Okay.
Because if you're riding your bike up and down crazy hills, when you're going up the hill, you want your seat post up high so you can sit on the seat and pedal and extend your legs the right way. Ah. When you're going down, you got to get that seat out of the way. So you want to be able to drop it all the way down.
Interesting. So you're doing it on the fly.
So, no, as you're riding the bike, boom. Uh-huh. The same way you shift gears, it's a little thumb lever, boom. Because where I go riding, now, if you're not riding on anything crazy, you don't need to worry about this.
Uh-huh.
But I'll have stuff where it's like all of a sudden like, oh, pedaling up, and all of a sudden it just drops off to go down. You want to be able to get that seat the fuck out of the way because you want your center of gravity low. Once you're going up the hill, you don't want to have to stand. That's a weird way to be. You want to be able to sit and transfer your power to the pedals. You want that dropper post. Any if you Google what's the accessory you want, they're going to tell you dropper post. Everything else after that, I don't know, man, but dropper post.
Way to go. That makes sense.
And I just got they're called, shit. I can't even see what they're called now. A magnetic bottle clip for the frame because I was carrying a backpack with water in it. And now I got a magnetic frame clip for the water bottle because bottle cage might not fit in a mountain bike, but these magnetic ones fit because then the magnets are on the water bottle and it just clamps right onto the frame instead of having to pull it in and out of a cage. Dropper post, fit, magnetic bottle clip maybe. That's where I'm pointing you to.
Okay.
Right anyway, on. That's a quick one. I know that ostracizes a large group of the listeners.
No, that's fine. That. No, nothing wrong getting niche here every now and then.
And so if you're riding on a trail, get a bell. You need a good bell, timber bells. They're annoying, but you'll get used to them. And also it'll save you if you're on a trail from bombing down a trail and then smashing headfirst into a hiker because you have a bell on your bike.
Oh, okay. Let people know you're coming. Clear
I've
out.
I've still almost hit people that are just wearing headphones and hiking up, but still. It's a courtesy thing, and you do that, and then a hiker can't get mad that you came up on them and scared them and almost ran them over. Because if you do that, then the hiker complains to the park district, and then the trail gets shut down for mountain bikers. So that's a good thing to do.
That sucks. Okay, and, right on, man. Good job.
Not a funny answer, but that's what I'm saying.
Cool. Corey Childers asks, what's y'all's favorite hot sauce? Not necessarily high heat, just best flavor. Whether
good
it's hot
question,
or not.
Corey.
Yes.
Hell yeah, Corey.
I'll go first. Ironically, one of my favorite and one of my least favorite hot sauces are made by the same brand. I think straight up regular Tabasco sauce tastes like shit.
I can guess where you're going with this.
Yeah, already. Straight up Tabasco sauce tastes like shit. I can't stand it.
Waste of time.
I do love the Chipotle. Mm-hmm. I like the and the jalapeno, the green jalapeno and the red Chipotle. I think are both delicious. And my other go-to, I love Cholula. I think Cholula's great. And I love Louisiana. I love Frank's. But Cholula probably my favorite, and then Tabasco Chipotle right underneath that.
Boy, not being in my house but in the garage, I can't refer to the brand names now, and I feel bad.
Because
there's some hot sauce companies, they make a wide swath of flavors.
Yeah.
Volcanic hot sauces, I think.
Okay.
And I'm saying I only know this because they've sent me stuff. They make all kinds of stuff, but they got a lot of crazy sauces in there.
Cool.
They got like a curry sauce, a weird chocolate chipotle sauce. Mm-hmm. So variety-wise, check out Volcanic Hot Sauce and another company that I have posted. They've given me stuff, and so I want to give them a shout-out because the sauce is good, and I can't remember the name of it, so I feel bad. But there's this hot sauce. It's like a Central California coast sauce called Cuyucos, Cuyucos. Fuck.
Uh-huh.
Cuyucos. It's got a little hot pepper on a surfboard on the label. That's a good across-the-board sauce. I don't know if this is xenophobic of me, but I only use, like, Mexican hot sauces for Mexican food. If I'm eating Indian food, I put a sriracha.
Okay.
Or, like, a hot sauce of that kind on that food.
No, I'm kind of that way too. It's weird to put sriracha on a taco. I know a lot of people.
I'm sure
do
it tastes fine. I just feel like this knows this sauce.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Oh, and that reminds me. Speaking of like niche regional sauces, I've spoken highly of people in the South. If you get a chance to go to Big Bad Breakfast, the absolute best breakfast I've ever had. They got one in
place of the shit.
Yeah, they started in Birmingham. They got two or three in the Birmingham area. They got one in Nashville. They got one in Charleston, South Carolina. Maybe a couple others. Best breakfast I ever had, but also one of the best hot sauces. They make their own hot sauce, and it's not even like a red hot sauce. It's more of like a salsa verde almost, more green. Mm-hmm. And it's not super hot, not real spicy, but just flavor for days. Just so much damn flavor, and they make it themselves. And oh, I think I got you a bottle. I don't know if have you tried that yet, or did I give you
from
that
Big Bad
you?
Breakfast? I don't think yes. I have that.
Oh shit, maybe you know
is
what,
it
maybe,
called that?
It's there's no label to it. It's just a little hot sauce bottle. Maybe I bought it for you and then and then kept it for myself, like an asshole.
I know how that works.
But, dude, anybody in Birmingham or Nashville or Charleston, if you haven't already, Big Bad Breakfast, insane. They have a, put it this way, they have a fried oyster scramble. A fried oyster scramble. Get the fuck out of here.
I never messed around with a fried oyster.
Oh, dude, I love fried oysters. Oh, one of the best foods in the world. Here's another thing. They make their own jams and jellies. All right, they make homemade blueberry jam, homemade strawberry jam, homemade peach jam. Oh God, I'm a little buzzed now, and I'm getting excited. I get a little worked up.
I was
up.
Wondering how many more fruits. Like none of these are surprising jams.
Blueberry. Oh, geez, I love blueberry.
Homemade
shit,
cockroach jam.
But dude, Big Bad Breakfast fucking rules, and their hot sauce is some of the best I've ever had. So, can't
you know
speak
what I got?
Enough.
You know what I got here? I got speaking of jams and jellies. I got like a jalapeno jam here, which I wish I could remember.
Yeah, like a pepper jelly. Mm-hmm. That's good.
I don't know where to use that.
You could throw that on a biscuit. You could throw it on a cracker. I don't know if that's a Southern thing or what, but
I like
it.
I just don't know. Like, do I put it on eggs? Like, I'm trying to think. I'm confused because it's a jelly.
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh, toast, but I wouldn't eat a piece of toast with it. But no, then I'm like, where do I put jalapenos? I put it on a burrito. I'm not going to put jelly on a burrito.
You could do it. It's very versatile. I know it sounds weird to put, you know, when you think of jams and jellies, you think of sweet, not savory and spicy. But that's how they get you.
It's both. I got candied jalapenos in there, too.
Ooh, I like that stuff.
Anytime I can get candied jalapenos. I'll tell you that for anybody listening. Anytime you can get candied jalapenos, eat them right out the jar.
I'd much rather have a candied or a pickled jalapeno than a straight up raw jalapeno. I like raw jalapenos, but boy, my sensitive my delicate sensibilities just can't handle it. I hiccup. I start to hiccup.
Now, raw jalapenos is a real combative ingredient.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
What am I trying to say? I keep wanting to say accessories. What do you call condiment?
Condiments.
Combative condiment.
Or accoutrements.
What do you call food accessories? Oh, yeah, condiments. All right, well, we're both, you know, it's like a pair of earrings for a sandwich. What am I trying to get at? All right. Jesus Christ. This might be an ideal way to record, Dave. I'm having a blast. I'm just sitting in a lawn chair in my garage, half in the bag. This, as long as the audio quality is great, I don't know. I think this is coming together.
Oh, I'm having fun. Ben Breen? Breen? I'm mispronounced.
I know Breen. Ben. I know
is this,
Ben.
Is this Ben the comedian from Denver?
No, B-R-E-Y-N-E.
Yes.
It's my buddy from Chicago. What's up, Ben?
How do you pronounce his last name?
Breen.
All right.
I never said his. You know, you got friends, you never say their last names.
Yeah, that's true. There's a.
It's Ben from Naperville.
There's a Ben with a similar last name who's a comic in Denver who's very funny. But anyway, Ben Breen asks, we all, or in parentheses, or most do at least, know the male voice from the intro is the guy Carl on Aqua Teen Hunger Force. That's our buddy Dave Willis, creator and voice actor on Aqua Teen Hunger Force and Squidbillies. Has it ever been revealed who the female voice was with Kyle on the other intro? Apologies if it has been asked. I'll let you answer that one. He's referring, Kyle, I know you probably don't listen to the intro as much, but the one where you and a female...
I don't think I've ever heard the intro.
Okay, well, we got about five or six that we rotate. But if you remember, you recorded one, and there's a female.
Rachel did one.
Rachel, he's referring to the Rachel, where you're trying to coach her up, and you're like, no, not sexy, say it again. You know, the Boogie Monster with Kyle Kinane and Dave Stone. Yeah, that's all Rachel doing that.
That's a Mrs.
Yeah, so there
you go. And then Brandy Posey did one, right?
Brandy Posey is the other female voice that pops up from time to time.
She got radio history, so she did that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so there you go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's old Rachel. She's inside.
How's she doing? She doing all right?
She's doing good.
Yeah, she's working from
Rona,
home.
You know, she's scared of the Rona.
She's still employed?
Oh, yeah, she's working from home.
That's good. That's good.
So I leave her alone during the day. My personal quarantine got lifted. It's been 2 weeks.
Uh-huh.
So now my personal space is no longer sacred.
There you go.
And I'm being harassed on a regular basis by that woman. She threatens. It's a physical threat now. I had 2 weeks of peace in my own home where I knew somebody wasn't just gonna spring out of a doorway, and then ghost punch my dick. And now that's over. So now I'm back on edge. Now there's no chill.
Yeah, I didn't want to spill your business there, but she's been known to be aggressive towards you from time to time.
Yeah, she's real aggressive. It's a real domestic situation.
That's a good problem to have there. Good job,
the neighbors
buddy.
Call the cops. She's going to jail. It's not me.
Oh, that cracks me up.
You tell the officer it was an accident. You'd be over here cleaning up blood.
Oh, God. The Savage Cabbage asks, any embarrassing nicknames from your past you want to share? That's a good question. I think I've talked about in my radio days, it was not my idea. My boss at South 106.1, today's hit country in Gainesville, Georgia.
Today's very hit country.
Yeah, he gave me the moniker of Dangerous Dave. And I thought that was lame as shit, but I wanted the gig, so I said, yes, sir.
Dangerous Dave, promptly at 7 p.m. every night.
Yes, Dangerous Dave. I was the host of Crying, Loving, Laughing, or Leaving. That's a mouthful. But from 7 to 10 p.m., and it was all redneck teenagers, and it was a call-in request show. And it was just nonstop. Hey, Dave, this is Tina from Ball Ground, Georgia. I want to wish my boyfriend Charles a good day.
Thank God you got away from that with this Q&A podcast we're doing right now.
But, yeah, just talking to horny redneck teenagers on the phone and playing Tim McGraw records. That was my life for a couple of years.
Oh, horny teens will never have good taste. They're clouded by all the horn.
Any nicknames for you? Have you ever had a
nickname? There's been children that have been... oh, shit.
Hey, I lost you again. Sorry about
that,
brother.
There we are.
All right. Nicknames for you. I know you have fans have given you a nickname that I've always been jealous of. I think Uncle Barbecue is a great moniker.
I called myself that.
Okay, I didn't know if you called yourself that. That's right. You called yourself that.
I called myself
that
at the beginning of Special. People hung on to it. No, yeah. I mean Kyle's already just a bad enough name. Like, it doesn't have a great, like, Kyle's a punchline name.
There's no old Kyles.
Like, every meme that's like, well, oh, fucking Kyle, like, it's Karen. It's the Karen of men.
Oh, man. So, Any others from your younger days?
I always got to the point where, like, Kyle was, like, a more unique name than it is now when I was younger. Like, I think there might have been one other Kyle in my school.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, oh, man, they're going to call me, like, Kyle Shitpile, you know, like Kyle Lingus or something.
Kyle Lingus.
And so I already came up with the nicknames getting ready for it. Like, you know, like, you know, like I, you were probably not bullied as a youth, Dave.
No, not really.
And I was always, I'm a little man, you know, physically, I'm a small man. And from an early age, like, all right, my self-defense is going to be my mouth.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to suck them off till they stop beating me. I'll suck your dick till you stop punching me.
I'm going to suck this idiot's dick.
What happened? Well, it was like three guys trying to beat the shit out of me, but I fucking fucked them to death. I S&F'd them. I S&F'd them till they left me alone. oh, Jesus Christ. My biggest concern now is how I'm going to get out of this lawn chair. It's one of these real low-slung motherfuckers. So. but anyway, yeah. I was like already like, you know, like if you're a comedian, you think like, what's the third thing you should say to be funny?
Yeah. Yeah.
You don't go with the first thing. You don't go with the second thing. What's mm-hmm. the third thing? What's the step that nobody else is going to take when they're trying to be funny?
Yeah.
That's like a comedy lesson, is go for the furthest reaching thing you mm-hmm. can go for. Don't go for the first thing.
Yeah. The first thing is what like your uncle would come up with.
Yeah. That's some water cooler shit. The second or thing the funny is how you guy make at the friends. Office.
Yeah.
Yeah. The second thing people say is like, oh, you got a sense of humor. You're going mm-hmm. with the, you're going with the deep cut around these people, but I know you got more to you.
Yeah.
And then the third thing is like, ah, I guess I'll do an open mic. And that's when your life's ruined. But so being like small and glasses, you know, and like, all right, I'll be quiet. I was quiet as a child. And then eventually like, oh, I would say one thing. People would laugh at it. And then I'd find the other kids that were getting bullied. And I'm like, I'll be the king of the kids being bullied by saying some smart ass shit. And then all those kids were real funny. Those are my friends to this day.
Mm-hmm.
But so I never had nicknames because I was like already thinking of what they're going to call me. And anybody bullying me wasn't – bullies aren't smart.
No, you know? No, they're not. I was actually – I you know, not a humble brag, but I'd never really been bullied. But I was the bully hunter. I'm the one that bullied the bullies because I'm a defender of justice. I remember this true story. When I was in sixth grade, we had this one little shithead who was kind of a bully, and he bullied a mentally challenged kid. And and I got wind of that, and I punched him in the stomach, and he doubled over, and I picked him up and threw him in a trash can. One of those big, you know, one of the big, like, 50-gallon gray trash cans, and we had it in the bathroom.
Oh, man, and, you were playground justice, Dave, before
yeah,
you were
I was
street
playground
Dave.
Yeah, I was like, no way, dude.
You were kickball justice, Dave.
You're not going to make fun of the mentally challenged kid, and I punched this kid in the stomach. And he doubled over, and I like picked him up and knocked him into a trash can, and I got high fived.
Yeah.
My hand was sore from all the high fives.
Even the teacher was like, "Good job, Dave."
Yeah, no, fuck that, dude. I more than one occasion. I don't know if I've told this story in high school. My brother was 2 years older than me, still is, and thanks for getting that one.
Ah, the dumb ones get me sometimes, Dave. The dumb ones get me.
That one never gets a laugh. But
you got a home for that humor over here, buddy.
Yeah. More than one occasion in high school, probably three or four times, I had to like go and confront my older brother's bully. And I was like, hey, why don't you pick on somebody your own size? Whatever. Fucking leave my older brother alone. And my brother, he was just kind of a passive dude. You know, he wasn't, you know, he's not a puss, but he was just, you know, he was just one of those, hey, he'd rather not deal with it. And, I just, not on my watch. You're not gonna bully my brother. Not if I'm around. Get the fuck out of here,
some
dude.
People.
So, yeah.
Well,
you know.
I realized that I was a smart ass to the point where I probably, you know what, I probably still was being a bully to some people, but just by I don't think it's a bully. Like I feel has a physical component.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think I was a bully. I was definitely an asshole.
Yeah.
I will say that as much as I was never physically able to intimidate people, but I could be real mean with my words because my mm-hmm. thought was like, well, if you don't like it, you're going to kick the shit out of me. So it was like, I'll see how far I can go with my words, which I looking back, I'm sure I took that too far with some people. But I was never a physical person. I remember me and my buddy Joe were like already tiny as freshmen in high school. And we were in the bathroom and like some – like what – I think about high school. When you enter high school, you're a child. And you leave high school, you're a fully grown man.
Yeah, yeah.
Who can go into the military.
That's weird. That is crazy.
And you enter when you are still in a child's body.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was us. And some like senior came in the bathroom. He's like, man, were they letting children in here now? I'm like, yeah, buddy, we're on a field trip. And we're both. My buddy Joe's like, what are you doing? I'm like, what's good? Oh, fine. He's going to beat up a child. I don't give a shit. I was always a smart ass. I was always small enough that where if somebody was going to beat me up, they weren't going to, it was going to be like a hate crime. So I was like, oh, you beat children. Like I would say a lot of dumb shit to dudes bigger than me. And occasionally, sometimes I like got friends out of it. This dude, Mike, that I was like, you ever have like a friend, like, remember when you're little, you don't know if you're friends with somebody because then occasionally they just want to kick your ass. And then sometimes you, because then sometimes you'd like be, you'd be on the bus with them and you'd be like, fuck you, go fuck yourself. And then like a week later, you'd be invited to their birthday party or something.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
There was this guy, Mike, and I knew he wouldn't like punch me in the face, but he'd like put me in headlocks and stuff. And he like was in a headlock and I was still making fun of him. He's like, I can't do this. So, like when you look at where the roots of your stand up comes from, I think it was when I like joked my way out of getting my ass kicked. In the middle of getting my ass kicked.
Oh, man. Young Kyle.
That's a dickhead, man.
That's funny. All right, let's do one more and then land this plane.
Yeah, I've got to go have supper.
Yeah, me too. I'm thawing out a steak. So, all right. Tim Parham. Parham? I can't read. Hey, guys.
I can't look at it, so I got to trust you.
Hey, guys, how are you handling the corona lockdown? My question, what is the strangest dream that you could remember having, and do you think it had any real meaning? That's a good question. Strangest dream. One time I had a dream that a hamburger was trying to eat me. Sorry.
I had one last night. Sean Patton sent me a video that was just an edit of him farting. It was him looking at his phone but farting, and then his girlfriend in the background just going, no! Like, there was, like, five or six good farts.
Oh, but then
I fell asleep listening to People's History of the United States by Howard Zinn. And so that permeated my dream, but it was Sean Patton doing some speech about early capitalism, but still him being Sean Patton.
Oh, that's
and being
funny.
Like, and this is how they took advantage of the miners by having like, forget what it was called, where like they had like, the, and him just going, and then for some reason, then you know, dream logic just shifts to a party where I'm at, and my dad's there, and he's in great shape, and he shakes hands with Anthony Jeselnik, and I'm like, oh, but the virus, and they're both like, ah, who cares? Anyway, that's a dream I had last night.
That's a good one. Good for you.
So there you go. There's one for you.
Most, and I guess this is a common thing, but most of my dreams I can't remember. But one that does stick out that I had about 10 or 12 years ago, I woke up in a panic. It's one of those where I like forced myself to wake up. Mm-hmm. You ever do that where you're like, this is so bad that my reptilian brain is going to just pop me out of this horrible scenario.
Yeah.
I had a dream one time that I don't know how this came about, but it was revealed that, oh, by the way, Dave, you have six children. I remember someone telling me that, oh, yeah, you idiot, you have six kids. Like maybe some of my past flings or whatever, you know, there's the classic story of, you know, getting a letter or getting a knock on the door and, you know, a one night stand from 10 years ago or whatever. But yeah, I had a dream that I had at one time it was revealed that I had six children and I was just like, holy shit, my life is over. What happened? And of course the logic doesn't make sense. Like, you know, at one time, what did I, I don't know what the
six
the,
children. They're all the same age. They're from the same mom.
Yeah, yeah. What is that? Not a sextuplet, but what would you call that? I don't know.
But, has anybody checked on Octomom through all this? That's what I want.
Octomom. What? How many does she have? Octo is eight.
Eight.
She had eight kids. Good God. What was that? That was about 15 years ago, right?
Fuck. She got eight 15-year-olds.
She got some, and then she got like some weird plastic surgery. Like she had some weird Mrs. Potato Head lips or something.
You had to have something done to. You had eight kids just spawn out of you like a spider egg hatched.
Yeah, lips is not the proper term I should have used there. but yeah, I remember having it, and it like just panicked me so much that I forced myself to wake up and be like, okay, gotcha, good.
I've had stuff. Yeah, I've woken up where I've been like the emotions have been so real. I've woken up fearful or sad or something.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, yeah, weird dreams. I kind of just like, yeah, dreams are always weird, so I don't try to keep track of them. But that one was last night, so.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Well, good times, buddy.
Yeah, man, I'm feeling good about it. I mean, that's not the right thing to say, but you know what I mean.
That's all right. You mentioned supper. What's for supper tonight?
I don't know. I don't think we're doing takeout, so we're rummaging around. I think we got some cod.
Cod is like, a funny word.
I like a light fish. Mm-hmm. I like a pan-seared light fish, a light flaky fish.
Dude, try this isn't light and flaky is the opposite, but you ever mess with some swordfish?
Ooh, yeah, I've had that in a restaurant. Never made it at home, but I've had a swordfish steak before.
Love swordfish. Almost more of a firm, almost like a steak, almost like a beef steak. Love it. Good times.
Still doing fish. Got to enjoy it before I get sad about that shit next.
Yeah. Well, good times, buddy. Glad to hear you're doing well. Glad to hear the missus as well.
Likewise, and, man.
Yeah, man. We're just, it's a weird time we're in. This is, it's really crazy. But let's all keep our chins up and trudge forward, and we'll persevere through this craziness, I hope.
Yeah, thrive until we don't, baby.
Yep. Patrons, thank you so much. Sincerely, I know we goof off here, but sincerely, from the bottom of my heart, we appreciate the shit out of you. I mentioned this on the regular episode the other day. Big surprise to me. I was convinced that we were going to lose most, if not all of you.
Understandably so, if you got to dip out of what, you know.
Understandably so, but just unbelievable that we actually gained patrons since this thing started. So,
and I'll be honest, this
was
a pretty great episode, so you're welcome.
But thank you so much, guys. We really appreciate it. Spread the word, tell a friend, and like Kyle said, if you got to dip out momentarily, temporarily, or permanently, we understand. But for those of you who stuck with us, just my deepest gratitude towards you. So thank you so much. But yeah. So there you go. There's your $4 a month right there. And we love you and we need you. But yeah, we'll talk to you soon. Thanks, guys. Take care of yourself.